fighting for America.
Our two priorities for this year are to increase the compensation for teachers. In Wyoming, for instance, beginning teachers make $43,269,000.
Fighting for Idaho.
We have a number of things in place to help keep parents informed. Through our Facebook page, we can post things. We've got a Sky Alert. We've got an instant messenger to keep parents informed of what's actually going on.
Fighting for you.
So when you get all the other stuff out of the way, all the politics and all that, our desire is to prepare kids for what we think is a bright future.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award.
Good morning!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Yep, that's working. It is 6:05, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, promoting our school, securing our future, brought to you by CapEd. Rich Ramadi joining us, president of Bishop Kelly. And, Rich, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Kevin. It's nice to be here. Welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be at Bishop Kelly High School. Tell us how special this year is for you all here.
Well, 50 years ago, in September of 1964, Bishop Kelly was founded by the Diocese of Boise as a replacement for St. Teresa's Academy, which had been actually the first public high school, and it was a Catholic high school in Boise that was founded in 1892.
It's all the 1800s
to me. Anyway,
yes.
So this is our 50th anniversary. So we're very excited to be celebrating a very special year for our school.
It is amazing when you think of just in 10 years or 20 years how much education has changed. The challenges, whether it's at Bishop Kelly or at the public schools or anywhere, just keeping up with getting kids ready to be productive members of society.
It is, and that's one of the things we pride ourselves on here, is that when our kids leave here, they've gotten a full, complete, whole student education in spirit, mind, and body, which is one of the things as a Catholic school we can do. We also, you know, first and foremost, are a school, and so kids have to be ready to do things in society, and we like to talk about the four C's, which many people do, but we think we do an exceptional job with critical thinking, collaboration skills, communication and creativity are going to be things that businesses like yours and when I was at HP and many other businesses and professionals are going to need. So we work hard on making sure kids not only learn things, but learn skills that they can then use in the world beyond in college and beyond college.
I think, Rich, critical thinking is needed now more than ever. So how does one develop critical thinking in the age of Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram?
Well, I think... Good question.
Hold on. Let me just, I have no answers.
No, I don't either. But we are constantly searching for them. I think importantly, we put kids in situations where they have to think and give them situations. And we do that throughout all of our classes and give them life choices that they need to make as they figure out what they want to do beyond high school. But I think in our classes, and we have a great faculty that works hard to develop those critical thinking skills and not just have kids memorize things, but actually think through given this situation. And a lot, you know, we teach classes like moral decision making. In our English classes, we pose questions in history. We talk about what happened then and why and what would happen today and what's the impact. And in science, it's not just let's memorize these things or math, but what's the thinking behind that? How do you apply that? And we also encourage kids to work in groups. As you know, as we just set this up today,
right,
scrambling to get here, you know, it takes a team to do things. So how do you work together with other people to solve problems? So those are some of the things we do in our classwork and in basketball teams and, you know, and in campus ministry.
Congratulations on the basketball team, by the way.
Oh, it was a very special season. It was a first-year coach with a young team that just came together throughout the year. To where they went on a run at districts and won 5 in a row and came back from a 20-point deficit a Saturday night at the Idaho Center in the finals. Went up by 2 with about 3 minutes to go and then just couldn't hold on and ended up losing by 6. But so proud of the coaches and the kids and the parents and the students and the whole community came together. It was a wonderful night. Although the outcome wasn't what we wanted, we couldn't be prouder of the kids.
580 KIDO, as we continue on, Rich Ramadi with us, president of Bishop Kelly at Bishop Kelly High School. What about life after Bishop Kelly? You know, we have a chance to talk to alumni when they come in, and they always give back. But what's it like for people, you know, 5 or 10 years removed from Bishop Kelly to still be a part of that community, to still contribute?
It's one of the special things about Bishop Kelly is that we do have a very active and engaged alumni, and I like to call alumni parents, because this place builds community. There is a sense of family here and belonging. Being a little smaller than an average public school in the area, at 750 students, which we're very proud and to serve that number of students. But these kids stay together beyond. My kids graduated 12 and 7 years ago, 6 years ago, and they still stay connected with all of their, many of their friends from high school and people who stay in the area. And even those out, you know, we have an annual fund drive that we call the Kelly Pride Fund. Mm-hmm. Named appropriately, you know, still proud of being a Bishop Kelly, that we have a number of alumni who give back. Many alumni are still involved in activities around here. You know, if you looked at the stands on Saturday night, there were many, many alums and former parents, alumni parents who were there. So there's a sense of community and belonging and working on things bigger than yourself here that I think continues in life beyond Bishop Kelly.
And speaking of which, we go back to our focus during this segment of promoting our school, securing our future, getting folks ready for after high school. And at Bishop Kelly, you know, the statistics are incredible.
We're blessed to have good families, good kids, and great faculty that work together to set the bar that the expectations are you're going to go on to college. The expectations are you're going to do your homework, you're going to get good grades. And we don't get all kids who are going to be Rhodes Scholars. We get a broad spectrum of kids for academic preparation and actual intellectual capabilities. Our goal is to have them meet their best, be their best self, achieve personal excellence in academics and athletics and in their own spiritual growth. So we're proud and pleased that 98% to 99% of our kids go on to college, most of them to 90%+ to four-year colleges. And not only do they go on, but 80%+ of them complete their college education within 5 to 6 years, which is another amazing statistic. One thing's going on, the other thing is to stay there. And with, although it's an investment to send your kids to Bishop Kelly, and we provide financial aid for anybody in need, our kids earned this past year over $18.7 million in scholarship offers. So the investment they make in Bishop Kelly and the hard work they put into being successful here academically and in other ways pays off when they go into college because their college costs are less. And so it's just it's a system that works. You know, Catholic education, whether it be at the elementary or the high schools, is a system that works, Kevin.
Well, we talked about your mission is to increase the potential for folks to get scholarships because many people equate, well, yes, I wish I could afford to go to Bishop Kelly, but based on our research and being with you, basically you can't afford to, and that's not a smack against anybody else.
No,
you know, your mission is to help others, and you do that.
You know, our mission, the mission of the school is to educate and develop the whole student, spirit, mind, and body in the Catholic tradition. And part of that education and development is going on to college and success in life beyond. A big element of that is serving others. Our kids we require, I guess it's about 60 hours of community service in the 4 years you're here, but most of them do 2 and 3 times that. And so not only do they go on and accomplish great things, but they also give back. And that's an important part of our faith, important part of being a good citizen in this country. So,
and it's not exclusive to Catholics. You have people of many faiths.
We don't. About 75% of our student body and families are Catholic, but we have many other faith traditions, and part of being a Catholic school is to be welcoming and inclusive of all faiths. So we tell people, in fact, we have from all faiths, whether it be LDS or Jewish, or we have Muslim families, a whole lot of, and then obviously other Christian denominations. We welcome them. They know when they come in, they're going to take some Catholic theology, they're going to go to Mass, they're going to have other things they're going to need to do that are aligned with the Catholic faith, and both of them welcome the chance to learn about the Catholic faith, and we're not trying to convert people to Catholicism, but that's choices they make as they go through life. But it's just a cornerstone of who we are as a Catholic school. But we do a big part of who we are as being an inclusive and welcoming church.
When we talk about this area, are you amazed at just how much it's growing? You take a look at Bishop Kelly's growth, but you take a look at, you know, when you were working for HP, now all the business is coming into the Treasure Valley. Your thoughts?
I think we're at another wave of growth in this valley with the quality of life we have, with the business environment picking up, with, you know, the industry I was a part of for 30 years, the technology industry, really starting to see some growth. When I left HP about six and a half years ago, there were a lot of, there were two big companies in HP and Micron and a number of smaller startups, but not a lot of mid-sized companies. What's been encouraging through the efforts of organizations like the Idaho Technology Council, Department of Commerce, some of the governor's efforts, and the industry itself, we're starting to see a number of good mid-sized companies, and that's the sort of fuel that provides growth to technology. So that industry is really thriving, and I think many others will see a renaissance, I think, back, hopefully not as crazy as the 90s were, but I think we'll see a rebirth in this valley. It's a very attractive place to work with good quality of life, good family, good place to raise a family, and good quality education at places like Bishop Kelly and a number of our public schools here in the valley.
What advice can you give to parents to make sure that their kids understand technology? I know we've gone from the digital natives, which is our friends right here with us this morning, but you know, the post-digital natives, the plurals, if you will, the people that are, you know, the young people that are in grade school right now. It's one thing to be able to work an Xbox, and it's another thing to learn code. What would you say?
I think we should always remember that technology is a tool to improve our lives, and our lives don't evolve around gadgets. They evolve around relationships. They evolve around working in teams. They evolve around accomplishing things that technology can be a tool to help you do that. So I encourage families and parents, and we had my wife, Georgiana, and I had the same opportunities to make sure kids both use technology where it's appropriate, limit time, get them outside, get them involved and active, get them working in teams, playing sports, other academic challenges, so that they view that as a tool to help make their life better, not as the end result to be focused on technology. And if they choose to follow a career in computer science or engineering, that's awesome, and we need more of those in this valley to continue the growth and in the state overall. But it can't be an end to itself, and life's too rich, and those aren't the skills, quite frankly, that employers like you and others here in the valley want. They want people who can work together, who know how to use technology to accomplish things, not as an end in itself.
Finally, congratulations on the new library.
Thank you very much, Kevin. We've had a wonderful year. About a year and a half ago, we put forth a vision we called BK 2020, you know, both the 2020 vision and the year 2020. And this year, we've been blessed with very generous community that's enabled us to build 7 new classrooms. So we got all of our students out of portable classrooms, a beautiful new tennis complex of 8 championship courts. And I think the crowning achievement was the Fraser Library, which we doubled the size and totally renovated and built a 21st century and beyond library, thanks to the generous donation of Tom and Joan Cooney. So we are very proud of the work that our teams have done here, and most importantly, very thankful for the generous community that has enabled us to do this, because we don't get a nickel from the federal or state government, so everything we do, we have to raise, and we've got a community, as you mentioned earlier in the discussion, that wants to stay involved and give back, and we've been blessed to be able to have donors and investors, that I like to call them, people investing in allowing us to further our mission and accomplish our vision.
A lot of sale of oranges at the parish level, too.
There are. We have, you know, every summer, the first week, right after school, first 2 weeks, we have a group of kids going that go to New Orleans on a service trip, and it's really life-changing for the 50 or so kids who go and the adult chaperones, and one of the ways they fund it is by selling oranges and grapefruit in the wintertime when it's, in fact, we buy a couple dozen each year and make fresh squeezed orange juice over the holidays when our kids are home. So it's wonderful and goes to a great cause.
Rich, thank you, sir.
Kevin, it's a pleasure to see you. Welcome back. It's always a treat to have you here.
Great to be here. It is 6:18, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO from Bishop Kelly High School. Courtesy of CapEd, let's get you to work safely and on.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Kevin Miller is back at school. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A.
I'm studying nuclear science. I love my classes.
Now from Bishop Kelly High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm doing all right, getting good grades.
And 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you for joining us. Top story of the day has to do with the disappearance and reappearance of the Hillary Clinton emails. Here's Rachel Sutherland.
California Senator Dianne Feinstein wants Hillary Clinton to give a full explanation of why she used a private email during her time at the State Department, telling NBC's Meet the Press that silence is only going to hurt her.
I think that she needs to step up and come out and state exactly what the situation is.
Last week, Clinton tweeted that she asked the State Department to release her emails, but Republicans investigating the Benghazi attack say there are big-time gaps in the emails she's handed over. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
There we have it, and that was the topic of the Sunday shows. By the way, it's 6:25, Kevin Miller in the morning. We are back at Promoting Our Schools, Securing Our Future. Today we're at Bishop Kelly High School, thanks to our friends at CapEd. Do want to thank our friends at Chick-fil-A as well. We'll be hearing from our wonderful partners at Chick-fil-A coming up as we move throughout the morning. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, but you go back to this brouhaha, Hillary Clinton and her emails. Now, apparently, Trey Gowdy, chairman of one of the House committees that's investigating Benghazi, knew about this for 6 months, didn't release this, and people are saying, you know, why didn't he release it? And then you have others that, you know, it's deja vu, it's 1994 again, that you have people defending the former First Lady, most notably Lanny Davis on our own Fox News Sunday, which you can hear right here exclusively at 580KIDO, where you have Chris Wallace and Lanny Davis going back and forth. Now, you have the president also saying that he was not aware that the Secretary of State was using her own email server, which does raise some alarms. You know, I was sitting there watching some of the Sunday shows with Mrs. Miller, and she said, I'm tired of hearing about the emails. Why is it important? I said, well, look, you know, you have transparency and accountability, and what happens if there's, you know, just for one issue, a hacking? Somebody could hack into the server. Apparently, the server was at the Clintons' Chappaqua mansion.
How about the Obama?
And, again, it led to a lot of people going back and forth, very upset here. I was, again, watching Fox News Sunday yesterday with Mrs. Miller, and I go, uh-oh. Lanny just made Chris Wallace mad.
The White House in 2011 saying that all work should be conducted on government emails.
In fact, the Obama White House has been unclear about what the policy is because there are many people.
The president was talking about it with Bill Plant. He didn't say it was unclear.
You know, Chris, what the president said was he didn't know, even though the August White House knew. And the president then went on to support Hillary Clinton. So if you just let me finish, the fact is nobody says it's illegal. She's turned over all of her emails, the first Secretary of State to ever do that. And going forward,
when
she's available for access. She turned them over last. Well, she said she's ready to turn everything to the public over. She turned them over last December, yes.
Right, which was almost 2 years after she left office.
And exactly consistent with the law, and the law changed in 2014, which you forgot to mention, and the New York Times forgot to mention.
I didn't say it hadn't changed. I said that it also changed in 2009. Let me ask you a question, Lanny.
It changed
Lanny.
In 2009,
if Clinton...
and it was complied with because...
Now, again, I thought I had gotten into the hot tub time machine and gone back to the mid-90s here, where you had Lanny Davis and Chris Wallace going back and forth. Now, let's take the politics out of it. You heard Dianne Feinstein say that the former First Lady needs to step up with the emails. You have the White House distancing themselves from the former Secretary of State. And now you have Mark Halperin saying, I don't think she's the front runner anymore. Now, if this is the case, there are two theories on this. Number one, that Bill and Hillary knew that this would be a problem, and that why not get this issue out into the forefront instead of into the campaign when you're competing against Jeb Bush and the Republicans. On the other hand, you could say, well, could this derail Hillary Clinton as becoming the first Democratic nominee for the presidency, for the first president of the United States that happens to be a woman? And like I said, we kind of get lost in the argument here, but if you want transparency, and whether we're talking about Governor Otter, whether we're talking about Hillary Clinton or President Obama, transparency in government is crucial, right?
If Clinton did nothing wrong, why did she send out a memo? Why did she send out a memo in 2011 to all State Department posts with this directive? Avoid conducting official department business from your personal email accounts. Why was it so important for every other member of the State Department but it was a directive that she ignored.
I can explain that by saying that a Secretary of State traveling to 111 countries might be needing to have one email system versus people in the department who should use the official system. I wonder why you
have... No, I don't understand that. You're saying it's such a burden to have to use state.gov?
And there we have it. Right now. This email controversy not going away, and if you're a supporter of the Clintons, you got to think, where's the cavalry? Where you have Dianne Feinstein, the administration already coming down on her. Look, she's released, 50,000 of the 58,000, and, you know, why is it important? I, again, is it important to you at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, that these emails are released, or do you believe it's just a political smokescreen? It is 6:30. We are proudly broadcasting from Bishop Kelly High School. Kevin Miller in the morning, promoting our school, securing our future, 580 KIDO.
Load our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now from Bishop Kelly High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We are joined by Principal Mike Caldwell with us from Bishop Kelly High School. Mr. Caldwell, thank you for joining us once again. Good to be back with you.
Thanks for having us, Kevin.
You know, our focus this time around on promoting our schools, securing our future, is college prep. And certainly at high school that starts, I guess, when you guys get these kids as they're freshmen through seniors. What's the changes that go on that you've noticed when students come here and when they leave?
I think at Bishop Kelly, number one, they come in knowing that we have high expectations, and by and large, our students reach for those expectations and reach for that bar that we set, and really hold each other accountable for that. So over the 4 years that they get, they come to Bishop Kelly. Our students are going to, number one, learn the secret of hard work and what it does in terms of payoff, and they do work hard when they're here. They also have a lot of fun along the way, like any high school, but our students certainly work hard. Our teachers push them and raise the bar pretty high for our kids, and they hold each other accountable for hard work and results.
Of course, that's easier said than done, hard work and getting to those results. What goes into the idea of building the student, not just to succeed academically, but in the post Bishop Kelly world of, you know, family, of budgeting, of all those things that, you know, we've had to learn on our own, if you will.
Yeah, you know, for our students, you know, obviously it takes more than just the individual student coming in and with the idea of they're going on to college. I mean, it takes a lot of support around them. So we have, you know, number one, great teachers here that provide a lot of support for our kids, spend the extra hours in the mornings, in the afternoons, whatever it takes to help students come along. We also have some amazing parents here that put in the extra time and effort and whatever it takes to help their kids as well. So, you know, it really takes a community to bring these kids along and help them meet their goals and move on to the colleges that they're striving to go to.
What about the Bishop Kelly way? We've heard so much about that, and what I guess we need a reminder.
Sure. When we talk about the BK way, that really captures the culture that we're striving for in what we believe and how we act. And essentially there are eight pillars to our BK way, starting with our faith, which is obviously unique for us, you know, as a Catholic community. Being a safe and caring place is very important for us. And, of course, academic excellence. Among those, we have, you know, we're very strong in our activities, and we have about 75% of our students that are participating in one form or another of our extracurricular activities that we offer, whether it be our sports or clubs or other activities that we offer. And then things like honor and generosity and partnerships are all important and part of our culture that we're striving for.
What's the relationship like with the Bishop Kelly students and when you compete academically or athletically with the public schools? We talked earlier about congratulations to the basketball team, runner-up in state. Congratulations to the football team, state champs. What's that like? Because, again, you can't live in a totally Catholic world your whole life. Some of us would like to, but that just doesn't, you wouldn't be preparing kids for life outside of school or the church if you didn't have these good relationships.
Yeah, I think, number one, I hope it's not that we're Bishop Kelly's always looking at just competing with the public schools. You know, what we're trying to do is be our best self and compete, and just to be the best that we can be. That's number one. But sure, there is from a public school perspective, maybe an additional motivation when they come to Bishop Kelly or when they play BK to want to win and maybe have that extra motivation with a little bit of a target on our backs. And that's okay. And it's fun and healthy and we enjoy that. But I think we don't necessarily look out and say we want to beat the public schools. We want to beat this or that. We just want to really be our best, whether that's an individual in a cross country meet or as a team in a football or basketball game or whatever the case may be. But we're just striving to be the best that we can be individually and as a community.
How do parents build student confidence? Because high school can be intimidating. You go from knowing things to moving around all the time, and whether it's at Bishop Kelly or another school, that's part of the process is adapting.
Confidence is certainly important, whether it's activities or academics, whatever the case may be. Having success and knowing that, even in failure, that it's all part of a process and that it's okay to fail sometimes and that not one test or competition or whatever the case may be defines who you are. There's a much bigger, important, element in our lives, and as we grow and develop as good people and go on to bigger and better things beyond high school. This is all just one part of the process of growing up, and I think that's important as we think about confidence. It's a process that you go through to develop that, and some of that is learning how to fail and getting back up and working hard the next day.
What drew you to Bishop Kelly?
Wow. Well, Bishop Kelly, I started here back in 2000 as a math teacher and taught here for 4 years, and was a vice principal here for another four, and went away for 6 years, and always felt that Bishop Kelly, when I started here way back then, always felt that Bishop Kelly was like another family to me. The people here, the students, just the greater community is a special place. And until you've been here and been part of it, it's hard to explain or really understand. But it's just a great place to be. I wake up every morning. I know it sounds cliche, but just grateful for the job that I have and the people that I get to work with, and when I come here and I get to hang out with these students in the hallways and talk to them about what's going on in their lives, and whether it's athletics or whatever else, it's just a fun place to be, and I feel blessed to be here.
Final thoughts for parents listening right now for getting kids ready to leave high school. What would you say as a professional administrator and educator?
As they're going to leave high school?
Yeah, to get them ready to take the next step, whether it's in industry, whether it's in the military, whether it's in college, just to thoroughly prep them. Maybe there's juniors, maybe there's seniors. You still can register for college. It's not too late to do that this year to get into a school. What would you say?
Yeah, I think find a school that fits you and fits what you want to do. And so many kids leave high school, they don't really know what they want to do, or they think they know what they want to do after high school, and get in 2 or 3 years into college and realize what they thought they were going to do is something they're not really interested in. One of the unique things that we did this year, we had a career awareness day on January 23rd, and we brought in about 70 or so professionals from all industries across the valley, and came in, and it was a day off for our kids, but we had over half of our student body come on their own time on a day off and meet and greet with these professionals and learn, you know, what it's like to be an engineer, a lawyer, or a home builder or whatever else. So knowing, having an idea of what you want to do and finding a school that that will help you achieve your goals.
Mr. Caldwell, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO from Bishop Kelly High School, courtesy of Chick-fil-A, 647. Let's get you to work safely.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Kevin Miller is back at school. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now from Bishop Kelly High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And 6:53, Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Coming up, your credit report may likely change. We'll give you the story on that. Other news of the day, and this is something that we haven't had a chance to tiptoe into, and it's by Audrey Dutton of The Statesman. Apparently, some parents in Idaho, are gun-shy over getting shots for their children. And this dovetails into our conversation we had last week with Julie Lindy concerning parental rights. And what do parents have the right to say and to do when it comes to saying no to vaccinations? Now, for me personally, I'm really not down with the flu shot. If you are someone that believes in the flu shot, it's great. But if you're like me and you put the tinfoil over your head at night and make sure the shadow people from George Norrie's world don't get you, well, the flu shot might not be for you. However, this just in, apparently when you're looking at going on an airplane, when you're hanging out in a kindergarten, going to Disneyland, Idaho students returning from vacations in other states where they've been, or there have been measles cases, which has been almost every state surrounding Idaho, and you have a lot of people that are concerned about it, according to state epidemiologist Christine Hahn, Dr. Hahn, who has been a guest on our program. And again, it comes down to this. Now, I can remember 20 or 30 years ago that vaccinations were not optional. They were mandatory, but it begs the question at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com, how prepared are you for your children to be vaccinated, and are you willing to have them vaccinated, or do you believe that you should have the unique ability to just say no to vaccinations, and that if you want your kid to be vaccinated, that is your choice? Now, what always gets me is, whether you're in church or at the gym or at work even, where you have the sniffling nose, where you have the coughing, where you have the sneezing, and, you know, what happens? 9 times out of 10, people get that sneezing, sniffling, coughing cold, if you will. Now, do you want people to stay home? No. But I do think that, again, parents should have the right to say no when it comes to vaccinations. And, again, it's been very, very controversial when you think about this. People are worried about the measles, they're worried about the mumps, they're worried about rubella, they're worried about everything else. Jason Kindleberger, a police officer, works as a resource officer in the schools, was among the first through the door. The Boise PD didn't require him to go, but the recent outbreaks of measles and mumps apparently concerned him enough to do it. Now, again, life is about certainly choices, and it comes down to this: how much you want to gamble when it comes to getting these diseases, or your kids for that matter. And then it really comes into the fact of, you're in a school, your kid is working very hard, and whether or not you want them exposed to these diseases. Now, when you go into the service, what does that mean? Well, you do get those shots. There isn't a choice. Now, think about this. A lot of kids are going home. About 11% of the 93 kindergarten students at Grace Jordan Elementary School have a vaccine exemption on file. Hidden Springs, you've got 16% of the 55 kindergartners were exempt from vaccine requirements. River Glen Junior High, 18% of the 268 seventh graders were exempt, all for personal reasons. You look at overall, 770 of the 26,000 students enrolled in Boise Public Schools lack their measles, mumps, rubella vaccinations. Now, this is where you come in. If you're the principal, administrator, parent, or teacher, do you, in fact, require parents to get shots? And as a parent, Do you want every kid vaccinated forcibly or otherwise if they're going to be in the same classroom with your kids? Do you sit back and pay for the shot and Timmy next door to you is contagious? And, you know, how effective are the shots? It comes down to a matter of choice. And like I said, it comes down to your own personal feelings. For me personally, I don't get the flu shot, but I've been very blessed, knock on wood, that I haven't had the flu in 27 years. For others, that might not be the case. And when you're talking about kids, isn't it better safe than sorry? And I have a lot of people listening right now at 580KIDO are going to say, Kevin, I don't want the government dictating to me what I put in and out of my kid's body. Let's discuss that coming up. It is 6:58. We are at Bishop Kelly High School, courtesy of our friends at CapEd and Chick-fil-A. Time for traffic now. 6:59, two more hours at Bishop Kelly High School. Join us, promoting our school, securing our future. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.